Hello again. This is Ms. Parker, and I'm going to read a disclaimer of liability. This project audio file is for RV Project Help. It was done on 5/16/2022. And let me start with a disclaimer of liability. The material and information contained or given on this website is for general information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. You are using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely upon the material or information on this website as a basis for making any business decisions. Whilst we endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, Project Help makes no representations or warranty of any kind, expressed or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, sustainability, or availability with respect to the website or audio files on this information. Or information, product, services related or contained on this graphic, on this website, or for any purpose. Boy, I really screwed this one up. All due diligence is the responsibility of the participant. So let me get on to the family governance calculator. So when you're doing a family governance, they're going to want to know how much money you're going to spend on your family for the next 100 years. So if you open up this calculator, folks, this is the way you're going to maintain wealth for your family for the next 100 years. And when you look at this document and you turn it in, you're going to need to explain what you're asking for. So I'm going to explain what I did and why I did it. And that way, hopefully, it'll help you with any kinds of questions that you have on what to do with your documents when you're going to go in and ask for family governance funding. So you're going to see there's year one, year two, year three, year four, and then year five is year, it's five out to 100 years. Okay. So in the first year, you see I'm asking for 10, and these are all in millions. Okay. So in the first year, I'm asking for 10 million for myself. The second year, I'm asking for 10 million for myself. The third year, 8 million. The fourth year on, 5 million. So why did I ask for a lower amount of money after the third year? Real simple. I believe that it's going to take me 2 years to get my projects up and going. I'm taking a fee. I'm getting paid for the work I do on those projects. And I expect that amount of money to be several million a year. So because I'm going to be involved heavily in my family governance, and I will derive income from that, I will need less money funneled to me after about the third year. I should be able to stand on my own 2 feet. So that's why I start out with 10 million. And after the year three, it's 8 million, then four, and then five. Now, the same thing can be said for my spouse or my fiance. I'm using these same numbers because I'm assuming that my spouse or my fiance is going to be involved in the business that I'm involved with as well. Now, if they're not, drop those numbers to 2 million straight across the board. You know, if he's not or she's not going to be involved, those numbers need to change as accordingly. So I have three children. Okay. I'm going to give each one of my children 10 million a year. And then the first year, because the first year they're going to need to buy homes and cars and do whatever they need to do. Okay. This by the second year, all of those first upfront costs are going to be gone. So 5 million a year for the second year on to 100 years. You're going to have to think about these numbers and not just put them in willy-nilly. There has to be a reason for them in case they go, well, hey, why are you giving your fiance parents, you know, this much money? These are reasons. So as you're filling these things out, have serious reasons by what you're doing, and you'll go a lot farther to get what you want. So siblings. This one, I only have two siblings. I don't know why this it's 600. This must be somebody else's part in here. But I have a really problem. I have a problem with one of my siblings. And so I'm adopted, and I have two adopted brothers. They are the natural children of my adopted parents. And I am very, 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 very fond of saying those people are not my blood. And the reason why I'm so harsh about this is the natural born son of my adopted parents is a child molester. And I have a real hard on for child molesters. I really think that they should be shot. And so I cannot understand why my adopted parents believe that he should be protected at all. So I, you know, God wants us to forgive those that do bad things, you know, and let God handle the judgment part. So I've had a real hard time with that. Because I, you know, child molesters need to die. Okay, so I prayed about it a lot. Like, how am I going to handle this? Because I'm going to have all this money, and I already know that my adopted family, they're going to lose their shit if I exclude him. And, you know, I read the Bible. I read the Bible. You know, I'm new in Christ. I was an outlaw grower for years, so new in Christ is really, really a new thing. And I finally made a decision. And my decision was, God says we had to forgive. God doesn't say we have to fund an idiot, okay? There's nothing in the Bible that says that God says that we have to fund an idiot. There's nothing in the Bible that says we have to fund a child molester. So I figure it's like this. I'm going to forgive him, but I am not going to fund him. So even though I have two siblings, I'm only going to fund one of them, and I'm going to give my brother $1, the bad one. And you're like, well, what the hell? Why would you give your brother $1? Well, there's a reason for it. It's a crazy reason. If your brother turns around and sues you and says, oh, you just forgot about me, blah, 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 blah. Well, say you die before that lawsuit happens, okay? If you give your brother $1, there's no way he can ever say that he was forgotten and sue your estate. So even though you don't like somebody or don't agree with somebody and they're a part of your family, don't write them out. Give them $1. That way you're protected. I had this issue before. I had a family member pass away and a whole side of their family was not included in the will, and they successfully sued. So if you're dealing with a family member or a person in your close family that you do not want them to be involved in all this gifting, then give them $1. That way, if they ever do sue you, you can say, no, I didn't forget you. Or if you pass away before this gift fully, you know, comes out. No, grandma did not forget you. Grandma gave you $1 because you're a child molester. Okay. So they're going to see, and how many siblings you have. I have two siblings. They're going to know how many siblings you have anyway. They're going to run background checks on you from here to hell and back again. So they're going to wonder, why would you not fund this person? Well, this is why. So I'm only going to do 10,000 for my brother the first year, my good brother. And then, because my family government says $10 million and $1. That's the why. And so year two, it'll be $5 million. Actually, year two, it'll be $10 million because my brother Brad, he's got like 4 kids. And after that, it'll be 5 for the next 100 years. Grandchildren, I have 2 grandchildren. And grandma's a bad grandma. The grandkids are going to get $5 million from every year. They don't have to do nothing but breathe. I have one parent that's alive. My father passed away. So I'm going to give my mom, like on this thing, it says $10 million. My mom is 70 plus years old. She gets mad if you give her anything except fruit for, you know, I want dried fruit. What the hell, mom? So dried fruit and flowers. So I'm not going to give her $10 million. I'm going to give her $1 million for the rest of her life. $1 million a year for the rest of her life. And knowing my mom, she's probably going to be pissed about that, but I don't really care. Now, my Parents of my late husband. I'm actually going to give the parents of my late husband some money. And the reason being is they were very good to me when my husband was alive. And, you know, they have a farm and they're, you know, it's a farm, so they always need money. I have 50 different relatives that I'm going to give $2 million a year to for the first 3 years and then $1 million afterwards. I have friends. I have one friend that says, what they are is almost family. They're not related, but these friends are like almost family. And so those people are getting the same 10 million the first 2 years and then 5 million afterwards. I've been wealthy before, and I've been very wealthy before, and I pay extremely well. And because I'm in the cannabis business, everybody that works for me knows that, you know, wealth could be gone tomorrow when the feds come in. So this time, usually when the feds come in and take everything, I have backup money that I can go get within 6 months. I can hire everybody back. Well, this time is different. This time I haven't worked with my staff in, instead of 6 months, it's been almost 5. And it's been a very humiliating experience because I didn't appreciate my staff. I wasn't nice to them. I expected way too much out of them. And it wasn't until these past 5 years that I realized I was a real asshole. I was an asshole boss. So I'm going to reach out to all of the staff that I had working for me. This document says 10. There was actually 16 of them. And I'm going to give each one of them $500,000 a year for life. They will, probably most of them will come back and work for me. You know, I don't know what their situation has been. It's been 5 years. My security, I'm going to have one person who I'm basically going to say, hey, look, like this is going to be your job you're going to retire from. And I'm going to put $1 million a year in your retirement until you work for me for 25 years. And then I'm going to give you the money. So even though it says there's $1 million a year, that $1 million is going to go into an account that is going to be his retirement. My executive assistants and my personal assistants, they will have a bonus of $500,000 a year because that's going to be split amongst three executive assistants and three personal assistants. I do have a chat about how to work with your personal assistant. It's a lot easier than you think. Community support. I have a couple of different colleges that I'm going to fund. I have some work that needs to be done. Like, if you live in a small town, like, sidewalks need to be repaired. You know, just support the community around you. Get stuff fixed in your hometown. Spend $5 million. You spend $5 million in your personal community, you'll have the mayor come into your house. See, one of the things that people don't understand when they're not wealthy is what wealth is, what real wealth is. It's not money, it's favors. That's the money of the real wealthy. So when you have all the money, you know, you can possibly have, and everybody else that you're hanging with has all the money they possibly can have, the wealth, the real money is in favors. So if you're donating $5 million to your community, your mayor is going to figure it out. And they're going to come knocking on your door. Oh, hey, how are you? What are you doing for the community? How can we help you? Blah, blah, blah. And they want a quid pro quo. They want you to keep donating. So there's a difference between donation and charity. Actually, humanitarianism and charity. When you're a humanitarian, you make the solutions and you execute the solutions. When you're doing charity, you just donate money. charity doesn't count. You can't donate charity. That's not a humanitarian act. That's an act of charity. A humanitarian act is when you do the exact same thing and set up a foundation to do that act. So, say you wanted to save the ponies. You're in New South Wales and you want to save the ponies, okay? So there's another company, a nonprofit company, that's saving the ponies. So you decide, well, hey, I want to do that too. No problem. So you reach out to that organization and you say, hey, I'm a humanitarian and I want to save the ponies. And I'm working with a trust and we can't give you money, but what we can do is we can fund an entire separate facility for you. And we would like you to help organize and run it. And for your services to do that, we'll pay you $1 million. Well, now you're doing humanitarian work. You're doing the same exact thing that the other company is doing. They're going to run it for you. You're going to pay them $1 million. Now, if you want to go in and run whatever part of that you want to run, you go over there and say, hey, yeah, this thing, we're going to do the same thing you're doing over that, but I want to make the decisions to this property. They're going to be all over it because it's going to double their public view. They're not going to say no. The difference is, one is you're giving money to that organization, and the other way is you're setting up a sister organization or expanding their organization, and then you work out a deal with them. That's the easiest way to do it. So that's community support. So you spend it on your community. Make your mayor notice you so that he owes you a favor, because that favor is priceless. Scholarships. A lot of people want to do scholarships back to their high schools, their alma maters. You can easily do $1 million to $10 million in that area. My school was poor. So a $500,000 scholarship would be massive. So I'll probably do 10 scholarships a year, and those scholarships will be $500,000 full ride, 4 years. Pay for everything for somebody for 4 years. All the college expenses for 4 years. College is going to change. You know, we don't know how they're going to change. So that scholarship number may differ. You don't know. I'm going to spend $1 million a year with my family legal. And what I'm planning on doing is not just spending a year with a family legal. I'm going to find a lawyer that does family governance, this kind of stuff. And I'm going to go to the lawyer and I'm going to say, hey, listen, how would you like to start your own clinic, your own law firm? I'm going to be one of your clients. And in return for that, I'm going to pay for your building, your shingle, everything you need to start your own business. What I want is when I call you, you work with me. You do what I need you to do. Most lawyers are going to jump all over that because they don't have the opportunity to have all their buildings and businesses paid off from ground one. That's nothing but a write-off for you. So at the type of money that you're going to have, you want to have these different little things that you're going to be paying into. So my legal and law, I'm going to spend $1 million a year on that because I'm going to be funding a full law organization. I'm planning on having a med bed. I've been told that it's going to be like 5 years before we can have them one for our own homes. So I don't know what they're going to cost. So I'm figuring $2 million a year, set that aside. And by year five, hopefully we'll be able to do it. Family elderly care, the numbers are self-explanatory. Vehicle maintenance. I'm going to hire, same thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to own a car shop, a car mechanic shop. I'm going to go to the mechanic, top mechanic that I like, that, you know, I think it can do the job. And I'm going to say, hey, how would you like your own car shop? And then buy one and say, you can run your own business. I'm going to have two employees here that work for me. You're going to be able to schedule them on your time. But if one of my cars breaks down,
That employee now works on my car. I don't wait in for nobody. If I bring my car in, you fix it first. And that way you set yourself up so that all of your personal services are taken care of, and this is all a write-off for you. So now the ones on the bottom, people are concerned about that. So what's a project startup fund? What's that all about? Well, when you add new members to your family governance, they're going to want to start up new projects to do humanitarian projects. Well, I've got two daughters that they think that, you know, Biden is the president. They think the clot shot's a good idea. You get where I'm going here. They just, you know, never, ever, ever send your kids to the current college. Just drop them on their heads. It'll be a lot better. So I know that when the truth comes out and my kids finally wake the hell up, that they're going to want to do humanitarian projects. So that first year, that's money set aside for them to do a startup and then fund that startup $100 million or $10 million a year, you know, split it between each girl. And that way, you know, their new startup is figured out. Now, a project investment fund. Sometimes you are going to be working with peers. For instance, I'm going to be working with a company that is going to be manufacturing my pots. That company is a tiny, tiny, tiny little blow mold injection factory. They don't have the funds to buy enough raw material to meet my demands, nor do they have the funds to expand. So I'm going to take money out of my investment fund. I'm going to invest in the very people that are developing my projects. I'm going to go to that little company and say, hey, I'd like to invest in your company. Here's $20 million to build a new building and put a new set of blow mold injections in there. So that project fund, investment fund, is money that you can use to invest in peripheral businesses that are going to help your main project, okay? Then the last one is project expansion fund. People always forget about this, and it's really an important amount of money to not forget about. When you say you start up this med bed for animals, okay? And you're predicting that you're going to have 200 horses a year come, okay? So you line out how much you're going to need for all this equipment for the horses and everything. So you've got your budget planned out for 5 years like you're supposed to. Well, what happens when you're successful? What happens when you're wildly successful? You fall straight on your face. That's what happens when you're wildly successful, because you don't have any money to expand. You're planning for 100 horses. 200 horses show up. You don't have the livestock pens to put them in. You don't have the feed for them. You don't have all the things they need for you to be able to put together before you can start doing whatever you're going to do with them. So you need expansion money. So if one of your businesses takes off really well, or one of your projects takes off, what happens if it's bigger than you think? You need a fund available to you that you can reach into and use for expansion. That's what expansion fund is for. The last one is a bridge fund. What's a bridge fund? A bridge fund is money that is instantly available for you to use to buy property, to buy a company. It's you have to put a down payment. A bridge fund pays for your down payments on whatever you're buying. So you're going to buy a $140 million property. You're going to have to put a down payment on $5 million, or you're going to put a hold fee of $5 million. Well, you don't got time to be going to the banker and doing all this other stuff. You need that money now. So a bridge fund is a cash amount that you can access immediately to pay down deposits or fees. These numbers are a lot higher than I expect them to be, but you want them to be sky high because they know you're wrong. They know you're absolutely wrong, and you know you're wrong. It don't matter. What you're doing is you're showing them that you think this is going to be that big, that good, and you believe in what you're doing. And belief in yourself and self-confidence in your project and your goals, that's going to get you the farthest that you could dream of. So they're going to ask for a schedule of what you're going to need for your family in your family governance. That's what this document is. It's your schedule. So I know I've given folks a lot tonight with the outline of the project, how to cut your project down, information on to do a trust, why you should do a trust, because I do not believe I'm going to need a trust. The trust is, if you guys just joined, if you scroll up, the trust is up there. It's free. The information on how to do it is free. The only reason why I'm taking a trust in there is because I've been told by very knowledgeable bankers that if you have a bank do the trust for you, oftentimes the bank wants to list themselves as the executor of the trust. And that's not what you want. You want to be the executor of the trust. So because I have a deep and abiding fear of banks, I'm going to go in with my own trust. Again, I don't think I'm going to need it, but I'd rather have it than not have it. So this room, the Project RV Help, I'll have the documents in here. All of the documents that I have in here, I'm going to be placing into Lisa's other channel. And that will be a place that you can get documents, but just no information. It's much easier if you have like a repository where you can find the documents. I put every single one of my audio files up, because at some point you're going to probably need to hear all of them. I don't think we are very long, folks. I don't think we're going to be gone more than another week, if not tomorrow. So I wanted you to have as many documents as I have already made. I will come back and do the same project talks for this channel so that it can be done for this channel. But if you want to hear those if you want to hear those project talks before then, by all means, they're up there. If you have questions, please write them in the channel. I will, I'll have a time in the evening. I'll write down what I'll write in there, what time I'll be available to respond to questions. If you want to chat, I need to ask you some questions about something, just put it in there and I'll turn on the video chat and I can answer questions if I'm around. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Yes. So, I mean, like your project, and thank you for everything that you're doing for us, but your project, you're going to be traveling all over the world selling your pots.
Yes,
I mean, shouldn't travel and like, you know, plane, hotel and all that, should that be on the family governance financials, or should that number be within our project?
That's going to be within your project.
Okay.
So in the sample project that I did, that person did not have, hers was all local. So there was not any traveling that she was going to do. But by all means, if you are traveling, that traveling money, that traveling fee goes into your estimated costs.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody have a specific question about their project? I've helped lots and lots of people with many different types of projects. So if you have a question about a specific project, by all means, please say something.
Okay, I got one.
Sure.
My husband wants to have an adult in my age group.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, hold on. Okay, can you hear me now?
No, you're still very, very weak.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, how's this?
Much better, thank you.
Okay, I had you on my speaker. All right, so my husband wants to do an adoption agency for people who don't have the money to adopt.
Okay.
And he wants to fund it mostly, but also set up an office and employ people. And we have other people, you know, the Turtles are all gonna fund their adoption money, you know, for the kids toward ours. And so my question is, I guess we just keep doing this forever, or at some point, I mean, I hope it doesn't need to be forever, but I guess we just do it for, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years, because probably by then, hopefully it's not going to be needed.
Okay, so you're asking how many years you're going to be in adopting?
I'm saying, would we ask them that question, whether our project needs to go on? Because with NASARA, with our world changing, it's hard to know what's going to be needed 5 years from now.
That's
so
correct.
You just go ahead and make all the plans as though you're going to do it for 100 years, but then they can just let you know.
You don't know what the changes are going to be.
Yeah.
So that's what I say is like, okay, I don't really think there's going to be a need for animal centers and that kind of stuff.
I got you. Right.
Okay, I really don't. But what I do think is this, is when you put on the cape of being a humanitarian, it doesn't stop with what you're doing now. And if you start allowing yourself to say yes, and that's the hardest thing, is I have people that come to me every day and they say, I have no experience doing this. I have no experience doing this. Okay. Well, the first person that went out and made a car, they had no experience making a car. Okay. All they had was the drive to do it. When you become a humanitarian, the first thing you got to do is stop listening to your brain. We've all been brainwashed. We've all been told over and over and over, you have to have a college degree. You have to do this. You have to do that. That's all freaking bullshit. That's the brainwashing they've done on us. Every single one of you, all of you that are listening here, you are here for a reason, folks. And I hope I don't offend anybody, but I believe the reason you're here is because God put you here. It takes a special person to be a humanitarian. It takes a person that is driven against all causes. You're going to have people that are going to naysay you. You're going to have people that support you. And until you get your first project on the ground, it's going to be a lot of walking uphill. Some people are going to say, you know what? This sucks. I'm not doing it. Other people are going to keep their goal in mind. They're going to keep breathing that bell until they hit it. I don't care what it takes. I don't care how far it takes me. I don't care how many years it takes me. But I'm going to develop non-GMO seed that is charcoaled so that I can put it in pots and I can plant it worldwide. That's what I'm doing. So if you have that goal, and all of a sudden, okay, now they've got replicators, and now they've got food that, you know, you walk over and you don't have to make pots anymore because now you've got food. Okay, well, I can change food scarcity. Okay, that's solved. Celebrate. Now what can I do? What product can I do? What can I offer to the people? What is missing? You figured out through your own experiences, through your own lives, what is tattooed on your heart of what you're supposed to do. You just have to listen to your heart. Once you feel that, like, I'm going to feed the world. Once that's done, I'm sure God's not done with me. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get another idea and I'm going to have another need. And God's going to put me someplace else. I'm going to make changes there because I am a humanitarian.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because even though your job may end, if you've budgeted those funds toward that end, it may just mean that you're not doing that anymore. But in the new world, you're brilliant, you're, you know, humanitarian heart, you can think of something and it'll already be funded.
Yes.
That's great.
So that's why you have to stop listening to your head. Your head is telling you all the things you cannot do. You can't do this because you don't know what the future is. You can do this because you are a part of the future. I'm going to embrace the future and I'm going to help the future. I'm a humanitarian. The more you start focusing on what you can do and stop focusing on what you cannot do. I can't do this because I don't know what the future holds. I can do this because I'm going to be a part of the future. You guys are going to have fuck you money, okay? You're going to have so much money. Many of you, if you got more than a couple trillion T's, M's, 100 trillion Zims, you're going to have fuck you money. You're going to have enough money that it don't matter what you do, you're going to have enough money to do it. You can make many choices. You can make choices to squander your money, or you make the choice to make massive change in the world that you live in. If you make massive change in the world that you live in, your whole family will be taken care of, because that humanitarian spirit continues. If you set your funding up, your money up, so that you only use the interest, you're never going to need money ever. The amount of money that you're going to get off the interest of $1 trillion, just $1 trillion, you can't spend it in a day. So if you set yourself up for the future and understand that everything as we know it is going to be gone. There's 3,000 medical devices that are coming out that we don't even know what they are. We are going to have new fruits, new foods that are non-toxic. We don't know how any of that's going to work yet. So have your goal on your project, have your goal on your vision, and understand this, that God's not through with you. You're going to get people to work. You're going to, this, the animal shelter that I just did, that's 6,000 people that we can get back to work. One person can be affecting of that. Well, once that solution for 6,000 people working is gone because they perfected that, well, there's going to be other funding that's going to be needed. And that's why we're here, folks. The Chinese elders picked the Americans because the Americans don't quit. We never quit. We get the job done. We have a spirit of camaraderie that is above all. So they felt that if they gave the money, they had to take the money away from the bad guys. They had to take it away from all the evil people. So they're putting it into the hands of mom and pop. They're putting it into the hands of John Q. Public. They saw what we did as a nation when 9/11. Our nation rose up and met every challenge. They're trusting in mom and pop, the general blue-collar America, to literally save our nation and to save the world. This is why I do these chats for no charge. This is why I will help anyone that has a project for no charge. Is because you are the tools that are going to take down the deep state. You are the people that are going to reinvent the world. I believe you are chosen by God. And I'm never going to have a chance in my life ever to mint new humanitarians or help them walk the path of changing their world, changing their lives. We've been stolen. Our lives have been stolen. Our businesses have been stolen for years and years and years. all these false prophets, all these false people that say, oh, you know, the Red Cross, oh, we're humanitarian. We donated, I don't know how many billion of dollars to the Red Cross for Hurricane and for Haiti. And they got six houses. They got six houses built. Haiti is probably the one that drives me insane. And the reason why it does is because they got millions and millions and millions of dollars for Haiti. And I don't know if you are aware, but the people in Haiti, I want you to take a minute and look at this picture. The people in Haiti, this is what they make to live on. They make dirt cookies. I'm not kidding. It's clay, a little bit of lard, a little bit of sugar. This is what they feed their families with. Our humanitarians stole from everybody and everything. You are the people that are going to go in there and actually make a change. Not say that you're going to do give away humanitarian, you know, you're going to change where you're going to build houses and do stuff for people. And then you're going to put 90% of the money in your pocket and you're going to use the other 8% to do bribes and do 2% to actually help the people. That's not what those of you listening are going to do. Your hearts are beating a steady tattoo to your brain about what you want to do to change the world. And we will be the people who
That's awesome.
You turned off your microphone, Summer.
Hi, Holly.
Does anybody else have a question? I do have one more.
I do.
I have a question. Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Which one?
Is that working now? Is it working now?
Yeah.
So we are not going to be, we're not going to be the ones that lie to people and take all the money. We're not going to leave Haiti like this. Every single one of you has a project that's in your heart and you are fighting. A lot of you are fighting your brain telling you you can't do it. I'm here to tell you, you can do it. And you can do anything you want. And you can continue to do it for the rest of your life. And the only person stopping you is you. So that's why I say you are the people that are going to change the world. The humanitarians that we've had have done nothing but steal and rape and rob our children. None of you have that plan. All of you have the plan to change the world. So, with that said, that's why I'm helping you. So, is there any questions you have? Anything you want to know?
I have a quick question.
Sure, you bet.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, I have a project. I have a binder with my project, but I'm concerned because I'm going to be starting some schools, and I've already done this in my community, but different kind of schools, and I know education is going to change. I know the cost of building is going to change. I came in late to the discussion. And so okay. I apologize if I missed some of the animal project you were talking about with creating it. But do I base my project on the cost of living now? I mean, how do I'm confused because I want to get the highest
exactly
exchange.
That's exactly what we addressed.
Sorry, I missed it. No. If you don't mind,
no,
just real quick.
No problem. And it's not real quick. It's actually a big explanation.
Okay.
So if you look at the Animal Project Clean Copy 10, in the Animal Project 1. And the last chat I just did, I'm going to be posting, and you can listen in on it, and it'll explain to you exactly how to do this. But the biggest part of this isn't so much having your cost estimate. It's about doing a cost estimate. Make sense?
Doing a I did do a cost estimate. I have it all planned, but I just want to make sure that, I just wasn't sure, you know, because we know what things are going to change. Like right now, everything's so expensive. So do we go high?
Yeah. So so what is your project? Let me ask you that.
School, education school. Centers for kids.
And what are you planning per education center? How much money are you planning to spend per education center?
Well, I have it very low. I mean, 6 million for the center.
Okay. I'm doing an animal shelter center and it's 120 million.
See? Okay. I need to read your numbers.
Yes. And you need to understand why. And you want to make it big. And the reason why you want to make it big is because they know that you don't know. They know you don't know.
Okay.
And what they're trying to figure out is how confident you are in it. So if you're figuring, you know, 120 million a center, that's going to be some damn nice center.
Yes.
You're planning a big center. But I'm also planning 6,000 hires. So when you look at the two different projects, the example of how to write your project, where I start out with number one to number 10, and see how that project changes, because you're in that exact same part where this sample project is you've got it written, but you need to sharpen it.
I do. And so I know that
information
will
help you sharpen it.
Okay, cool. So I go on your Animal Project. You said clean copy 1 and 10.
Yeah. If you just scroll up, they're just above you.
In the feed. Oh, I see it. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Just scroll up.
Okay. So I'll just go through those and see how you built your project. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because I'm actually talking you through how to do it.
Okay.
And showing you how to do it with the actual document, a document that was written with too much information in it.
Okay.
And then a document and showing you how to change your a sample document so you can do it with your own document. The file that I just posted, that is the speaking version that goes with all those different pages. And if you scroll up, you're going to see page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. I show you as I'm editing them.
Okay, I see where you listed those. Yeah, number 3. Okay.
Yep.
No problem. So as I go down. Okay, then I'll just look at that. And it's just a lot. I've already started schools in my community, but, you know, back in 2004 and 2006, so much has changed. So I'll just look and see what you've done.
Yep. No problem.
I appreciate your help. Thank you.
No problem. Glad to help.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question?
I have a question, Holly.
Sure, Kat. I'm not Holly. My name is Ms. Parker.
Oh, sorry, Ms. Parker. My question is, I signed up for the site where we all of us with projects are joining and we're supposed to meet and start discussing so we don't do one project 100 times, like you said. And what I'm wondering is how they say that Telegram's going to go down, the internet's going to go down. How will we find you if Yahoo's gone and or whatever email we've used?
Okay. Well, any site that is telling you to sign up for that site to combine your projects, you need to stay away from. Because the first time somebody tells you there's not enough room to do 500 animal shelters, there's not enough room to do your project, they're not giving you the right information. Think about how many schools that we have in America. You know, how many, 500,000 schools? So they're saying you can't do a project that's the same as somebody else. Everybody's going to have a different bend and a different idea. There are people out there that calling me Holly gives me a really big idea. I have a much, much, much different attitude than Holly. And my documents will be free. My information will be free. I'm not charging anybody for anything. This telegram may or may not go down. I already have a website that's completely written that will be putting more documentation out there. I have been very wealthy and I lost it all and I got wealthy again and I lost it all. I'm in the cannabis industry. I am a startup. I'm a specialist in startup companies to make both cannabis and non-cannabis companies fully vertical. My last project was $20 million. There's a lot of humor in what I talk about because I have been stupid wealthy. And this time when I go up, I'm talking about, Brian, you're on the website. this time when I go up, I'm going to be sharing information so that you guys don't stumble and fall on your asses like I did. the biggest thing I'm going to tell you is this. You're going to get a lot of firsts, what I call firsts right now. And the more and the longer you have money, you're going to have less and less firsts. Like the first time you get a major check, the first time you buy your first house, your first, you know, 5-10 bedroom house, the first time you have security staffs, you're going to have a lot of firsts. And when you give up your power to another group or organization that wants to coordinate your firsts, you're giving up what God put on your heart to do. Don't do it. There's plenty of room for every kind of program, multiple programs. We could have 100 wild horse, wild dog, you know, saving programs. We have 209 countries that are involved in this RV. So it's ludicrous for someone to tell you that there's, you know, oh, you have to join this to not step on somebody else's toes. Bullshit. What you want to do is you want to hook together with people doing the same type of businesses you're doing, the same kind of projects you're doing. That's what's going to make you stronger. Separating yourself makes you weaker. We're stronger together. You're also going to find, if you're wise, you're going to reach out to people that have the same ideas and goals that you do. And here's the reason why. When all this breaks, you guys as turtles, God bless you, Lisa, I just freaking love that. You guys as turtles, you already have a strength, a foundation of community. You know each other. You've seen each other, okay? When you guys get up and you're all humanitarians, that is a extreme power you're going to have as a group. And here's what I mean. So, Mr. Brian, I'm going to use you as an example. Oh, Genuine Oki, I'm going to use you as an example. Susie Pete, I'm going to use you as an example. So CG Brian, he has a gallery opening and he wants to get media attention for the gallery opening. He invites Genuine Oki, and Genuine Oki, she's giving cowboy boots to the poor. And Susie Pete, she's running a, she's going to give flowers to the elderly. Now, none of these three community organizations have anything to do with each other. The power is that they don't. So when it's written up in the media, oh, CG Brian opened up a big gallery, and looky there, this big humanitarian gal, Genuine Oki, who gives cowboy boots to people, she thought so much of this gallery, she showed up. Oh, and there's Susie Pete. Oh, Susie Pete, she's, damn it, I forgot what I said Susie Pete was doing. So Susie Pete, she's showing up and she's supporting it. So what you've got is you've got a group of humanitarians that the outside world has no idea that they're connected, but you are connected. Because you all have the same heart. You all have the same goal. And your goal is you want to help your group that you are helping. And that's what's driving you. You're going to cut out places in the world that you're going to make better. And you're going to stitch those broken worlds together and make our whole country stronger. And those that are from other countries, they're doing it in their countries. And eventually, all of us will repair the horrible damage that the cabal has done to our world. and we'll eventually reach out to the UK to, I mean, I am, I'm going to the UK, I'm going to Australia, Fiji, Santa, Christmas Island. I'm going to 120 countries. I'm going to need contacts in all those countries. I'm going to need, you know, hey, are you a local in this country? Oh, hey, I'm doing pots. I'm going to bring charcoal seeds. And people are like, charcoal seeds? Why do you want charcoal seeds? Well, if the population is starving, so are all the vermin. So are the mice. So are the birds. So if you put charcoal on your seeds, the mice come to eat your seed and they spit it out. But that don't taste good. Tastes like charcoal. The birds go to eat your seed. They spit it out. But tastes like charcoal. Oh, and then they poop on it. Well, there's fertilizer. So, you know, how do I reach out to Mumbai? Who do we have in Mumbai? You're going to, all of you will be a connection to each other. So while the gal is doing that website, oh, we want to connect each other. You don't need that. You just actually need physical connection, a place to talk and meet. Right now, we're doing it on Telegram. I'll post a website where you guys can all do that too. But there will be some chat. Like if Truth Social is the one that stays up, then I'll be pointing my group to Truth Social. Those of you that send me your emails and information when I'm doing your documents, if you want to be connected to the next part, I'm going to connect you. Once I get this group up and they got their projects and they're up and going, then I'm going to connect you with other groups I already have. Because the power and the strength of what we're doing is to be a community of humanitarians, and the weakest link is the slowest link. So by joining everybody together, by having the same goals, and our goals are the same. We want to make our cities, our states, our communities, our countries, our globe better. We want to repair what the motherfucking deep state did to us. I hope that makes sense.
That it does. And I've listened to all of your recordings, and they're fabulous. It's so much information. Thank you. You know, I thought that sign up thing was like on the Chosen and on the other Telegram RV channels. So I don't know who that is then, but I think it's a good idea. So we do all stay together and do what you were saying. It's advantageous to everybody.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Lisa is going to be connected, and I'm going to be connected to her now. Thank you very much, Lisa. And between the two of us, we'll get it out.
Yeah, definitely. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, that is Holly's group, and a couple others have signed on to that, and it was advertised in the Chosen Ones before. It was called the Chosen Ones before they closed the room off. And Summer, Miss Parker, you described it perfectly. I wholeheartedly second everything that you said. I also agree that right now we're kind of disconnected because of the COVID, because, you know, social media, because of our political beliefs. And so we're disconnected from the people that we're physically, you know, around and should be connected and used to be connected to. And so we've found like-minded people online. And all of us turtles are all over the United States. We even have some out of the States. And we don't even have to be physically together. Because of social media, we can even connect online and support each other. And like you said, bring to the table the things, the strengths that we have, and see how they can connect. So I don't really know all about that humanitarian group that Holly has. I went there the first time she put it out, and I looked at it, and it wasn't for me. So I'm not exactly sure, you know, if there's benefits that it didn't appeal to me, because I made my own little group, and because I want to be connected in my community. So I have projects that are in my community. I also have projects that are going to go global. So we're going to need different kind of communities. But I think that if you, like you just said, Ms. Parker, give your powers, you know, your superpowers over to someone and be dependent upon them. And I'm not dissing Ron Giles, but I am saying, you know, I don't resonate with what he does either. It's just whatever you resonate with. So if you are going to give away your power, not everybody's a go-getter. My daughter's an amazing artist, but she's not, she's a follower, a complete follower. She's scared to get out on her own. So different strokes for different folks. But if you are a humanitarian and you do have great ideas, you do have some drive, you do have individual unique ideas, you may not, you may find very quickly that you're hindered, and maybe that'll give you your courage and drive to go out on your own. I love what you said about the difference between charity and donation. Some people want to say what they want. Some people think it's bossy and you just want to give the money. And the same person can donate to some and do the charity way with others. So everything is completely unique. Also, I wanted to say that I did not promote Holly's in my, I'm the creator of the RV Highlights Room, and I did not promote that because I just don't believe in it.
Yeah, well, me either. But for those of you that listened to Nick, he was very clear about the fact that very soon there's going to be quite a few arrests from those in the crypto people that are giving bad advice. So just watch and see what happens. But I will be having a website up, and my website will have a place where you can put your information on it. So you can, you know, you'll have your own profiles on there. And then I'll have a calendar, and that will be a calendar of events of where people are going to be. So like, I pick on you again, Mr. Brian. So if Mr. Brian has a gallery show in New York City, and those of you that are into galleries, you need to show up, because it does nothing but boost all of you to get your public projects into the media. So the Parker Potts Donation Center, showed up to C.G. Bryant's gallery. Genuine Oaky Boots company showed up and did their support for C.G. Bryant. They're not using your name. They're using your business, the CEO of this company. Me, I'm going to hide, okay? For those of you that don't understand how important security is, I have a very, 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 very important talk that you need to listen to about security. I will tell you this. I am extremely, extremely secure and have issues with security. Let's just jump right off in the fucking deep end. I was taken. I was stolen. I was kidnapped. And so because of this, I talk about it openly. I was not able to talk about it up until about 6 months ago. I hadn't really told anybody what happened to me, except I would never take my shirt off in public. I could never go swimming in public because I was afraid to let people see what was on my back. When I was in my early 20s, I was a very wild, outrageous cannabis grower, and I was growing about a $2 million crop. And if you're from Humboldt and they know you're a grower, they know. And so I got taken for $100. The guys that took me, they knew that I stopped at this little bodega, and I got coffee every day on my way into town. And then on my way back, I refilled my coffee cup, and I bought a pack of white. I'm so mad. I have to have my donuts. The little white. I can't think of the name of the Hostess donuts. Little white powdered donuts with coffee. God, I'm just addicted to those. So the guys paid the clerk $100 to text their beepers, because at that time, I'm a little old lady, folks. So at that time we had pagers, not cell phones. And so they beeped their pager. The guy beeped their pager when he saw me get out of my truck.
And they had me for 20 minutes. And where they took me to was at the base of the mountain, not knowing that my entire family was on the top of the mountain and cannabis growers. And I am the only girl in my generation. There's 19 males, cousins, and two brothers. Two brothers are younger than me. But my cousins heard my screams. And they rescued me. Back in those days, they took you and they tried to make you tell them where your grow was. And as soon as you gave up your grow, then they'd rape you, and then they'd slice your face, and then they'd slice your throat. So I knew that if I talked, I knew what was going to happen. What they did to me in 20 minutes, I still wear the scars of today. So when I tell you that you need security, I'm not fucking kidding. When you have money, you are a target. Your children, your spouse, your business partners, they are all soft targets. Your dog, if you love your dog, soft target. So I highly, highly, highly encourage you to listen to how to get security and how to be secure. I highly encourage you to spend the time now to look up a security company in your local area and have that number ready for you to dial when you walk out of your RV appointment. When you have this kind of money, you cannot be foolish, and you need to be secure. I've had military guys say to me, you know, I was in the Army, good luck, they'll kill me, you know, blah, 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 I'll take them all out. And my response to that is, you don't have backup anymore. Your ex-police, great. You don't have that radio on your shoulder anymore to call help. When the bad guys come, they don't come to play. They're serious. So I urge you to, while you're making all these plans and you're getting your projects done, you need to seriously consider getting security literally the day you get your money. Make a phone call and start working on that. So I'm sorry if I'm being rude or upsetting anybody, but the reality of it is very few people that are not wealthy have any understanding of how often wealthy people or their children or their dogs are kidnapped. So you need to start thinking about these kind of things, okay? This is, you know, this is kind of a jumping you guys in with all kinds of shit right off the bat. For those of you that are thinking about, oh, hey, I want to stay in my same property, I'm going to live here, I'm not going to change anything. Well, if you come away with a couple million dollars, you're right, you probably can do that. But if you become a billionaire, you have to live in a property that can be secured. And if you get staff, if you hire a security team and they tell you you have to leave, that's something you have to consider right now. You have to think about these kind of things now, because when you get big money, okay, you can either be in charge of the money or it can be in charge of you. You're going to go through feelings just like you go through grief, but it'll be much more intense. And a lot of times, I know I've heard a lot of people thinking, you know, they've got, I don't know, maybe 100 bills, okay, all different kinds of currency. Well, they may be going into this RV thinking they're going to walk away with, you know, $40 million. and they may walk out of there with 40 billion. Okay. If you've never had big money, you always think, this is how I was. I'm going to tell you this straight up. First time I got a check for $15 million, I knew I was getting a check for $15 million. I knew 2 weeks before I was going to get a check for $15 million. I told myself it was not going to affect me because I'm a badass girl. I'm not a big deal. This is not going to affect me. I'm not going to flinch. I'm not going to do nothing. I got this, right? I was as giddy as a five-year-old on the first birthday party I ever had. I could not believe how knocked sideways I was. People go through that first rush is insane, okay? It's like your brain turns off. Like it's like your blood pressure goes through your head because you think, holy shit. Holy shit. It's so much different than being told you're going to get it to actually having it in your hand. Okay. That first time you get a big check, that's going to be the time that you're literally going to want to pass out. Okay. Because even though you know it's coming, there's nothing like it actually being in your hand. Okay. Once you do that first time, you're okay. It's not going to hit you that hard again unless it's something big, big, big. For me, this is the first time I know that I'm going to get multiple millions of dollars, and it's not because of cannabis, so the feds can't take it. So for me, it's going to be a super rush this time because this will be this. They can't take it from me. This is really mine. I'm really going to be able to change the world. This is really mine. So when you get that big check, you need to think about how am I going to handle it. Think about it, envision it, close your eyes, hear the guy tell you, you know, whatever you think your big number is, multiply it by 10. Close your eyes, hear the guy tell you, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. So-and-so, your projections were a little incorrect. You're going to get $40 billion. Feel yourself react. When you believe that, you're going to get goosebumps from your nose to your toes. For many people, it's like their hearing turns off, like they can't hear nothing anymore because they're so blown away. But if you don't know that those experiences are normal, it can overwhelm you. It's normal. Just give it a minute. It'll stop. Some people go through a feeling of, I can't figure out what you're saying or what you're doing. So they back away from everybody and everything because it's too overwhelming. You can't let this overwhelm you. You have to be able to get up and start your project. The shock is going to be intense. It's going to be intense. And if you know that it's going to be intense, and if you know that you're going to have, you expect that you're going to have some kind of feeling, when that hits you, it won't take you down. You'll be able to ride it and go, okay, Ms. Parker told me that my heart was going to be beating through my head. Okay, this is normal. Ms. Parker told me that the world was going to go weirdly silent because I was so overwhelmed, because that's what adrenaline does to your ears. It takes away your ability to hear. So when that adrenaline hits, you're not going to hear very well. So you're going to have to tell them, hey, slow down. Please give me a minute. Talk a little slower. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated when you're in that RV, okay? And it's going to be very easy to be intimidated. Because the first time they tell you how much money you're going to get, unless you've had big money before, I'm telling you, it's going to hit you like a lead balloon. So you need to know what to expect, okay? Expect this feeling of, I can't breathe. Like, not George Floyd can't breathe. Like, literally, the adrenaline is pumping so hard, you'll forget to breathe, okay?
It's pretty cool. it's everything is cracked up to me. Okay, then the next thing is, understand that there's a chance that your brain is going to fog. Like you're it, like it'll like Charlie Brown, womp, 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 womp. That's what it's going to sound like, because I thought I was going to held it. I thought I was. They give me that check and it sounded like all of a sudden all these people around me sound like they were doing womp, 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 because the rush of adrenaline. If you've never had an adrenaline rush, folks, it's not what you expect. It's about 100 times more intense, okay? And there's nothing you can do. You just got to ride it, okay? Most people try to be cool. Oh, I'll be fine. No. Slow everybody down so that you can breathe, okay? Slow everybody down until you get your feet back underneath you. It's only going to take a minute or two. But if you let them go while you're feeling that kind of adrenaline rush, you won't remember nothing. You'll walk out of there just fucking clueless, because your brain is so overwhelmed with this feeling of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, that you can't hear anything. So when I talk about the stuff you need to do at the bank, like there's a chat in here, it's about print this document, go through it. And the reason why I say that is because you're going to have this adrenaline rush. So if you don't have documentation in front of you telling you, hey, take your Zim, get the bank account number, get the signature of the guy who's signing it, make sure that it's insured. If it's not insured, find out if you have to have insurance, because we don't know if it has to be insured. I have 7 steps for you to do. And when you look at this document, you go, that's the stupid fucking document I've ever seen. It's the exact same thing. No, it's not. Because when you're on this adrenaline rush, if you don't see it, it doesn't exist. Because that's what adrenaline does to your brain. It's like, oh, you're a person, but my brain is way over there. Okay. So be ready to have this rush of adrenaline when it all becomes real. Okay. Plan on it. That way you are not letting the money run you. You're running the money. This is the money you're going to need to change your community, your state, your nation, your country, your world. Don't let it run you from day one. Get your feet underneath you now. Think about these things. Think about how you're going to handle it. Envision it. Breathe it in. Realize that you're going to have these massive reactions that you have no control of because it's adrenaline. And then once this adrenaline is over with, you're going to boom like a tree, go to sleep, because it's taken everything out of you. So because I know that's going to happen, I'm going to the RV center, and I've got plans made up to make 2 phone calls. Somebody to take care of my dogs, somebody to take care of my house. I'm leaving the RV center. I'm going to a hotel. I'm going to go to a hotel because the hotel is going to have security staff. They're going to have cameras. It's going to be way safer than going home to my house. I'm going to go to a hotel and let this adrenaline run off of me, order room service. I'm not going to go out in the public at all and celebrate with, if I got, you know, my friend with me or if I have somebody, but I'm not going home because I know that adrenaline rush is going to take several hours to go through. And then you're going to crash like a rock. So I'm in a place where I'm now a multimillionaire. I just need to sleep. So that's how I'm handling the first day. I talk too much again. Anybody have any comments, questions, anything they want to say?
Yes. Back to kind of the security thing. I know we're all going to be signing in NDAs. Each one of these people on the family governance financials, do you suggest like somehow doing NDAs with them for non-disclosure, so they're not going around saying, hey, my uncle or brother, or whatever, just hit the mother load, you know, I mean, it's that kind of.
Yeah, I do have NDAs for everybody, and the security team that you hire should be the ones that, that's one of the questions you're going to ask them, is will you do the documentation NDAs for all of my staff? So your security team should be the ones that help you with that. But yes, you do need one. And my personal staff, my PA and my executive assistant, I have them sign NDAs, and if they are married or if they are in a relationship, I have their spouse sign an NDA as well. And sometimes that really pisses people off. Sometimes they expect it. But the reason I do, it's like, okay, look, I know you're married. Okay. And I know you talk to your spouse. So, you know, this doesn't go any farther. But you can't, if you come here to pick up your wife, you see whoever you see here, you're now under an NDA because you came here. So I have both the personal assistant and their spouse do an NDA. But my chef has an NDA, my personal trainer has an NDA, my dog handler has an NDA, my pilot has an NDA, my mechanic has an NDA, everybody. And my security team does full background checks on all of those same people.
Nice.
Okay, so what if they say something? Are you in danger of getting your money clawed back because they said something?
Well, what I have them sign an NDA for is not the same as what we will be signing an NDA for. I believe that they're going to have us sign an NDA so that we don't talk about the rates. We don't say Zim, Donair, Dong, none of that stuff. I think that's what our NDA is going to be about. My NDA with my staff is going to be about, you don't tell nothing about the rich bitch you work for. Nothing. So it's two different types of NDAs. Make sense?
Gotcha. Agree. Yep. Thanks.
I have it a lot easier than most people because I've been an inventor for most of my life. I've started different things. I've actually sold patents and I've sold product. So for me, I'm telling everybody, hey, I just sold one of my inventions. That way I don't have to tell anybody nothing about nothing. And because people know that I invent shit, they're not even going to think twice. They're not going to say, oh, you just, you know, I've done it before. So nobody's going to be suspicious. I'm not worried about the NDA at all because I'm going to flat out lie. I'm going to tell people one of my inventions, made some money. Now, what other people that don't have that kind of thing have done is they're planning on saying stuff like, well, I didn't really tell you before, but I kind of invested in Bitcoin and I sold it before I sold everything before it bottomed out. And I'm under an NDA with my wealth management to talk about anything else. So I can't talk about anything else. Or just have a pair of balls. I'm under an NDA. I can't tell you. Sorry, don't ask. So,
can I ask you a question?
Sure, you can ask anything. Be careful. Okay. I'll tell you the answer.
yes. Now, you're talking about coming away from there, from the RV, with this euphoria, being in a fog about being having all this money, but it's not our money. So my question is, when we walk away from that, from the RV,
what do you
not
mean
the
it's
exchange,
not your money?
It's not our money. It's humanitarian money. It's not ours to do with what we like. It's for us to put back into a community or the projects or what have you. So
you don't realize
essence,
that you actually have. Yes, you are, because they don't take 100% of your money. It's only 10% of your money is going to go to a humanitarian project. In the beginning of this chat, that's one of the things I was saying, is a lot of people don't even understand that they're going to be receiving way more money through their personal amount than what they're receiving as a humanitarian. So while yes, the humanitarian part of the project is not your money, but you're also going to be getting personal money. It doesn't all go to the humanitarian project.
Okay. I understand what you're saying there. And the other thing is for a while there, it was said that if you're over a certain age, which I am over that age, and unwell, that you would just go ahead and give your ZIM for a infrastructure project or what have you. And then you would walk away with X amount of dollars as you know, it's being your own. And so I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, I've heard a lot of different ideas about ages. And it seems to me that most of the people are saying that if you are over 70, you can get a lump sum of your money. And you still have to donate some to the humanitarian projects. But I think a lot of confusion ends up with there's multiple versions of this. So if you don't want to do anything, you just want to get your lump sum out and let them use the humanitarian funds however they want, you'll be able to get a lump sum out. They won't crunch everything. You'll be able to take it out. On the other hand, if you decide that you want to do a humanitarian project, they're going to let you do it, you know, if you want to be involved in it.
Have you also heard that they're going to, we can make appointments for med beds for,
yes.
You know, I mean, I would love to do a humanitarian project, but
yeah, I am not well enough to. They're saying that we're going to be able to get a phone number for a med bed and be able to have access to a med bed. Several different people I've heard have made the statements that they believe that you'll be able to do age regression 3 times and you can go back 30 years. So if you have age regress, they've healed your body. All you need to worry about is just getting to the appointment and then getting a, you know, getting through the RV and then getting a med bed to heal your body. And then
so you can do your project. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
No problem. Anybody have any more questions?
I do another, but I don't want to hog this. If somebody else speak up if they have.
No, go ahead. You're probably asking questions that everybody else does not even know they have want to ask yet.
Right. Well, I've also, like yourself, have thought about security. My heart has been taken advantage of all through my life, which a lot of us that are going to be humanitarians and have been wired for this, I believe, have been in the same boat. So it's made me a lot more cautious in my older years. But as far as going to our appointments, you know, I don't even want to drive my own car because I'm, you know, what if it's a Wells Fargo, they've named the banks that there's the possibility it's going to be there. Well, what's going to keep somebody from the cabal from, you know, finding that out? They're going to look at, you know, every tag coming in. They're going to be, you know, marking cell phones. We're going to be tracked. I'm not even going to take my cell phone with me. I've thought about renting a car, but then they'll be able to sit there and run the tag. And, you know, they've got access to all this information. We're all going to be targets, even though we're all going to be out for helping humanity. And that's what our main intention is. The ones that are evil are still going to be out to do evil. What is your suggestion? And I've thought about this numerous ways of how to get to the best way to get to our appointments. You've come up with a great idea of going to a hotel after. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts in that regard? Because
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of different things you can do. One of my guys, he is going to drive. He's a little extreme, but I like it. He's going to drive up to the center and 2 blocks. He's going to figure out where, drive past it, 2 blocks away from where it is. He's going to take his license plate tags off his vehicle and drive, you know, wait till 10 minutes before his program, drive to the parking lot and park there with no tags on his vehicles and put the tags in his truck. I'm like, well, that's really interesting. Me, I blew up my truck. So I don't have a vehicle. And I live in a city where there's no rental cars, but there is a U-Haul. So I'm going to rent a U-Haul overnight. I'm going to drive my U-Haul up to the city I believe the RV is going to be in. And in the morning, I'm going to take an Uber from the hotel to the RV place. And because I'm going to drive past the location before the day I go, I'll be able to tell the Uber person to drop me off, you know, half a block away from where I'm supposed to be. And I just walk the last little bit. But I'm actually not as concerned about going there as I am after I receive the blessing.
Right.
And it's just because I've had this happen before, and like, even though I thought I was ready, you're not ready. You really don't know how you're gonna feel. Some people I've talked about it, they've gotten big money and they said, yeah, Park, I was fine. I didn't have that big adrenaline rush. And I'm thinking to myself, I bet you did, but you were already prepared for it, so it didn't knock you off your tea kettle. But yeah, so go to a hotel the night before, call an Uber. You know, whatever you have to do that makes you feel comfortable.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Anybody else have questions?
I have a question about security.
Okay,
go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
So you mentioned having security when we leave our appointment. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you recommend we continue with private security,
and absolutely. If
you do recommend 100%. That, like, how long do you think we should have it, and should we have it like 24/7 or just when we're out in public? Or I have two small kids, younger kids, so those are huge concerns for me because I want to make sure they're safe and someone doesn't use them against me. And then, you know, of course, I worry about myself.
Let's go one step further. Okay.
Okay.
So say you've got, I'm not going to use you an example. Okay. I'm going to use an example with young kids, but it's kind of a different. Say you and your husband are married and you have children from another marriage, and those children spend 100% of their time or 50% of the time with your ex. Now you want those children taken care of, but they're with your ex and you think your ex is a piece of shit. Okay. How do you handle that situation?
Pretty much.
All right. Perfect. I didn't want to assume anything, but I was just assuming things.
No, you're on point. I'm not married, but I have a piece of crap ex.
Okay. So there's multiple ways that you can handle this. The first thing is, how much money do you have? So if you come away and you have, you know, $500 million or a couple billion dollars, then you're absolutely a target. Okay. So then you need to hire security for yourself and security to watch over your kids. And that includes while they're at your ex's. So you can reach out with your mouthpiece, with your lawyer, have your lawyer go over to your ex and say, listen, your ex-wife is a high value target. And that makes your children a high value target, whether that your ex-wife's house or that you're and they're at your house. You can either allow us to have security around you, or we're going to be around you and watch you all the time to make sure those kids are secure. You can either accept us into your life, or you can make us stand outside your life and guard you from afar. But either way, we're not going anywhere. So the chances are, hopefully, that your spouse is going to wake up and realize that even though you think he's a piece of shit, that you understand that he has to be as safe and secure as the kids are, because those are the people you love. So you're going to hire a security team to take care of your ex while they're at the kids. And when
the kids are with you, you're only going to provide daytime security for your husband, because you don't want him to get stolen. You don't want to be responsible for something happening to your kid's daddy.
Yeah.
So that's how you're going to handle it. And I know there's been a lot of exes that have talked to me and just motherfucked me left and right from saying this. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your ex is an asshole. It doesn't matter if your ex is a flaming faggot. It doesn't matter if your ex is the scum that is on the bottom of your shirt. It doesn't matter. What matters is your children. And your children are soft targets. If you're a high wealth person, your children are soft targets. Now, your ex is probably going to be safe no matter what. And you know, if I had an ex that was a motherfucking asshole, I'd be like, please take that son of a bitch. I'm not paying for his ransom. But, you know, I'm a bitch. So, you know, I don't wish that on anybody, but, you know, I have some bad thoughts sometimes. But don't think that way, because yeah. It's your kid's safety. Okay. And so, yeah, it's going to cost you money to protect your kids. Okay. I'm going to have, because I'm going to be global, I'll probably have two residences. I have a dog that I adore. My dog will have full-time security because I'm not going to leave a healer. So something you need to think about.
I had just one more question. I'm sorry. I don't mean to keep you any longer. How long do you think that I should have, or we, you know, we should have the security continue?
As long as you're wealthy.
Okay.
This is going to be life-changing. A lot of people haven't considered about how they're going to deal with security. A lot of you haven't figured out how you're going to deal with executive assistants. A lot of you have not figured out how you're going to deal with having a chef, how you're going to work around having staff. When you have a security team, you have to be responsible for where they sleep, because they're going to be 24/7. So these are things that, until you have money, this doesn't hit you. And these are all these kind of decisions that you're going to be whacked with. So this is why I do these talks. This is why I've posted all my files, all my audio files, so you guys can hear this. Because these are all things that if you don't know it's going to happen, it's going to come at you so hard, so fast, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be set on your ear. So my goal is to give you as much information, every single one of you, so that you can be as successful from day one, from right off the bat. We've been told that they've got doctors on staff because they're afraid people are going to freak out. You don't want to freak out. You don't want to let this adrenaline hit you, this blessing hit you, and cause you to not be ready. So get your feet underneath you, folks. You got a lot to learn. Let's go. We got a lot of lives to change. If your brain is telling you can't do this, tell your brain to shut up, because God is in your heart. Listen to your heart. Your heart will tell you what you can do. If you keep telling yourself you can't do something, you're going to prove yourself right. Tell yourself what you can do. Anybody else have more questions?
Okay, I did have one question about the interest. Who is going to pay us interest?
I don't know. Nobody knows. We've got some gurus saying that we're going to be paid at interest. Other gurus are saying we're not going to be paid in interest. I have no idea.
Okay. Same here.
Here's how I think about it, though. I imagine that what is going to happen to us is that we are going to get a big enough amount of money that they're going to want to pay us out in payments. And I'm assuming that some of us are going to have accounts of over $1 million. Okay. I'm going to meet with my wealth management team after I figure out my finances and what I have. And I'm going to try to set up everything so that I only live on the interest. I don't touch any of the capital. By doing it that way, that leaves me with perpetual money for the rest of my life. I have, you know, I know a lot of you guys are in crypto. I'm hoping that the XRP, you know, goes off to 50,000 to a million, like they're saying, because if the XRP goes off, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to do a family trust, no matter whether or not they give us this money or not. By doing a family trust, this is a way for you personally to make sure your family is good for 100 years, okay? So I'm still going to set up these same kind of things, but when you get big money, the problem with getting big money is nobody tells you shit. They all expect you to go hire people to go find out shit, but the problem is you don't even know what you need to hire. It's all kinds of stuff that you don't know that you need, and then by the time somebody tells you, it's too late. You've already made decisions that are already impacting you. So right now, focus on making sure that you've got your document into two pages. Make it, they only need three pieces of information they're looking for. They're trying to find out what, how much it's going to cost them, how many people you're going to employ, and how long you're going to do it. That's all they want to know. Then you want them to get that paper, put them down. As soon as they put that paper down, your whole project changes, because now you're eyeball to eyeball, mano a mano. And they can see how you really feel. They're not looking at a piece of paper. They're looking at you and your heart and your drive and how important this is to you. And because they've got us, some of these gurus say they've got a sliding scale. Some of these gurus say, you know, it's predestined. We don't, you know, you're going to get what you're going to get. Well, here's how I feel about that. I'm going to cover every freaking base I got. I'm going to cover bases I don't even know if I have. So I'm going to go in there prepared to show my best side and ask for the biggest damn dollars I can get. I want them to see this is not a drive-by. This is something that's important to me. This is something I thought about. I worked on a plan. I gave you a presentation. Now I'm going to go back with my wealth managers and we're going to come up with a plan to make it happen. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but if it's going to have this amount of people, this is how much it could cost. And what you're showing and what you're saying without saying, hey, look what I've done, is you're saying this matters so much to me that I put this extra time in to make sure I had a good project to show you, that I believe in this well enough that everybody else, all these other gurus are telling people, oh, if you don't know how much to estimate, just say, oh, I'll have my wealth managers estimate it for me. Dude, why don't you just say I'm going to have my wealth managers jack me off? It's the same thing. Don't do it. Control it. This is your dream. This is your shot. This is your goal. Nobody else's. Don't let anybody take it away from you. Don't put it in the hands of somebody else to make those decisions. For those of you that started this call, when you first looked at this project for the animals, most people, I ask them, how much you think this project is going to get? And they'd say, oh, 100 million. No, that's a $920 million project. It's got to be on you, your heart, your dreams, your goals. You close your eyes. You see what's in your heart. You can vision your goal. You can vision your project. You can see it. Let your heart talk to you. If you're sitting here listening to me and thinking, God bless America, Ms. Parker, I don't have a fucking clue what I want to do. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're here because God wants you to be here. You're here listening to this because God picked on you, okay? So if you don't know what's in your heart, go sit in a quiet room. Open up your heart. Tell me what to do. God, lead me. And let it come.
because you're here for a reason. There's very few of us that are going to actually step out and go slay the dragon and become humanitarians. A lot of people want to do it, but they're not going to have the help. They're going to fall on their face or they're going to lose their money. The lottery syndrome, 90% of the people that get their money, they lose it. I want you to be part of the 10%, folks. I want you to be part of the 10% that change the world. So that's why I talk.
I have one last question, then
go
I'll
ahead.
Shut up.
No, you keep going. You're fine.
So all along, I had no information on this family governance deal until this evening. So thank you for your enlightenment. My whole focus is the 3 to 5. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Here, hold on. This up here is what you need to hear. Bankable trust. Okay. This right here. There, no, that's the family governance calculator. Go up higher. Security, write your own project. Where, how to get security meeting, public mindset, working with now your humanitarian project. Select security. Where is it? How to be secure with wealth. That's another one. Where is it? Family trust. There we go. Part 2, family trust. Wealth management. Favors and funds for good people. What is family management? Okay. Let's get rid of those. You don't need that one. Prepare for the RV. 2 projects in 1. Family governance, wealth management. Docs you may need. Okay. Forward. These are the documents that you need to listen to about family trust, okay? And what is family wealth management? Listen to that one first. And then family governance wealth management. And I think that part 2 is the family trust. I haven't listened to these in a while. And then favors and funds for good people, how to work around your trust when you're adding people that you want to have involved with. But what is family wealth management? That's the fastest one to get you up to speed. Okay.
Right. Well, my question being, all along, I've been planning my 3 to 5 minutes, practicing in the mirror and everything like I've heard you're supposed to do for our 3 to 5 minutes on the stage for our humanitarian project. And I've, you know, at what point do we bring up the family governance if we're supposed to take a limited amount of time? Because their time and the centers are valuable. They're trying to get as many people through there as possible. At what point in this process, because this is nothing I've ever figured in or even thought of, at what part of the process do we say, hey, this is not only a project, but it's also a humanitarian project and family convergence?
Well, governance. In the very beginning of your project, when you very beginning of your presentation, you say, I have Zim and I have a humanitarian project for my Zim and I have a family governance for my Zim. I've been told that they don't need you to present the family governance. They don't care about it. All they want to know is, do you have it to give to them with the packet of stuff that you're giving? Because that family governance will not be approved unless your project is approved. So right. You're not presenting anything for the family governance. You're just providing all the information and numbers so that when your team goes back and negotiates with, we've been told they're going to have a meeting to negotiate the final numbers for what you're going to get from them. So they add the family governance in at that time with that meeting and you don't have anything to do with it. They just want to know that you have a family governance project. You don't present it. You just present your humanitarian project.
Okay.
If they ask questions, then by all means tell them. But I'm planning on presenting my humanitarian project and then at the end of my presentation saying, I also have a family governance plan that I've been told would be accepted if my humanitarian project is accepted. So I'd like to turn that document in with you at the same time I'm giving my humanitarian project.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Good question, actually. I don't think anybody asked that one before. Anybody else have questions?
I have a question.
You bet. What do you want to know?
When I look at the animal project, at the top, it talks about your name trust, your name project. Do I have to have a trust on that, or can I just use a project and then later come up with a trust?
Yeah, you can do it any way you like. I just have it up there as a sample of how you would set it up if you had a trust. If you don't have a trust, just remove that.
And okay, and then just be my name and not trustee.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on getting an LLC instead of a trust?
Oh, Lordy, that's a big question. And the answer is yes. But again, I'm not a lawyer, okay? I'm not a lawyer. But I had multiple LLCs inside my trusts. And every big ticket item I have in its own LLC. You can do it in a trust too, but you don't have to worry about any of that. Your lawyers that you're going to hire are going to help you do all that stuff. You need a good tax lawyer. That's what you need to do. And then tell your tax lawyer what you want. But yeah, you don't need to have any of that set up now, but absolutely. I'm having LLCs. My house will be in an LLC. My cars will be in an LLC. They'll all be separated. And the reason why you want that is because you want to stop people from, say you've got dumbass A and dumbass B. Dumbass A understands that, hey, this lady's got money. So dumbass A and dumbass B decide we are going to slam our brakes on in front of your car and you're going to run into us and then we're going to sue you. We're going to sue your car. We're going to sue your property. We're going to take everything you own. No, they're not, because I have my car in a standalone trust. I don't own that car. It's owned by the trust. So whatever damages that they can only claim to that car. They can't go farther because I don't own that car. I'm just driving that car. It's owned by the trust, or it's owned by an LLC. So they can only sue the entity that they have an interaction with. So everything I have is separated, completely separated, so they can't come wipe me out. I've had that happen before when I was stupid, didn't know anything. And that's the other thing about being wealthy is you're going to meet wealthy people. Okay. They're already wealthy and they're not going to tell you, oh, hey, do this shit. They're going to wait until you screw up. And then they're going to go, oh, you know, that happened to me too. Okay. So when you go talk to your wealth management team, make sure you have a wealth management lawyer or a tax lawyer. And you're going to ask them to separate all your assets so that they cannot take you for everything. And this is exactly what they're going to have you do. Now, some lawyers are going to want you to do them in trusts. Some lawyers are going to want you to do in LLCs. I think a lot of that has to do with your state. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but I had multiple LLCs inside trusts. There's advantages to both of it. And Lord Almighty, I can't remember what the hell they are. I've been poor for so long, I forgot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else got a question?
Hi, Ms. Parker.
I cannot hear you, hon.
You hear me?
Not really.
I'm low. I try to fix it. How now you hear me?
A little bit better. Can you come in a little bit louder?
I try to get in the room today that you speak, so I miss. Lately, my phone have a problem with Tibet member that they try to scam me or something, so I don't know why I cannot get into your room. So I miss.
You're
I
in the room right now.
No, this is my husband's pad, so I use his. Mine is Quantum. I send message to you. I cannot get in. I don't know why.
I don't know, hon.
Okay, thank you. I don't know how to get in this room.
I don't know either. I can barely hear you.
Really?
I just know how to do documents. I'm not a computer guy, girl.
I same thing. Someone, if someone know how to do it, please help me. I can.
Yeah, can you reach out to her, please? Thank you, Lisa Floyd. Thank you, Casey Shields.
Thank you.
NP Life, did you have something to say?
I want to listen the whatever topic that you talk today, and I cannot find the whatever you talk today on the.
Because we're recording it right now.
Yeah, but I'm not in this channel, and I'm on my husband pad. That's why I cannot use his. I take long time to listening, and sometimes I don't understand. I listen again and again and again. That's kind of thing. Okay, I'm not gonna take you too much time. You have a lot of work to do. I understand. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all the member that helped me. Thank you. Bless you.
Was there MP Life? Did you have something you want to say, or is there somebody else that was wanting to talk?
Yes, I came in part way and I didn't hear some things, but you had said it pretty quick about the three things about for your project. You said how many people to employ, and I didn't catch the other two.
It's they want to know that document, the audio that I posted earlier from tonight's chat has the way to set up your documents, and it has that same information. And what you want is how much money that it's going to cost, how many years are you going to do the project, and how many people are you going to hire?
Okay.
That's their big push. That's what they want to know the most.
Okay. I actually jumped on here like seconds after I discovered that, that this was, you know, a chat to join. So all this is, your whole page is all new to me. So I have to go back and read everything. So I appreciate you taking time. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Bye.
Here is the recording we've already done. I'm posting it again. And this talk that I'm doing right now, as soon as it's completed, I'll be posting this one as well. Does anybody else have any questions? I'm going to end the recording. And if you'll stay on here for a few minutes, I have some more information after I end the recording. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the open chat time and information. This is Ms. Parker from RV Project Help. Thank you to all the humanitarians, and may God watch over you and bless you for the work you're about to do to help your world and your country. Amen.